Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast.
For product managers and innovators.
Your host is Chad McAllister, helping product managers become product masters. Listen and get ready to take your career to the next level. For the doctor is in.
Hi, this is Chad, your host. I've heard from some listeners that this is a great place to learn more about product management and innovation. And that's fantastic. That's exactly my purpose in creating each episode of this podcast. Hope you're enjoying it too. I also want you to know about the Product Mastery Roadmap. It shows the steps to go from product manager to product master. And you can get it along with the show notes for this episode at theeverydayinnovator.com/095. Now, the last episode I did was on the topic of product roadmaps. And today I wanted to extend that topic by considering product line roadmaps, roadmaps for product lines and product families. And now the person who has turned that topic into his professional career is Paul O'Connor. He's the founder and managing director of the Adapt Group, and he has been a major voice in the field of new product development over the past 30 years. Our paths have crossed a few times. During his time in product development, he has developed and implemented a number of innovative approaches to creativity, innovation, and productivity. And he's truly one of the savvy insiders that can go both broad and deep on nearly any topic related to new product development. In our discussion, we talk about what is a product line and a product line strategy, how are platforms related to product lines, how product line roadmaps differ from kind of the normal product roadmaps we tend to think of, and why product line roadmapping is important. I hope you enjoy the interview. Paul, thank you so much for joining the Everyday Innovator and being part of the podcast.
Thanks, Chad. It's good to be here.
So I know our backgrounds have bumped into each other a little bit, but we haven't actually met before. And we were both, you were very much involved in PDMA, the Product Development and Management Association. And that's where I found a lot of, you know, that's where I discovered this discipline called product management. So it was a very helpful organization to me when that happened too.
And it was a great organization to me in developing my whole background and career. They were a very good organization. I'd encourage a lot of anybody that's interested in the area to get involved with PDMA.
Excellent. And now I would say you've done the deep dive into product line roadmapping. And road mapping is a topic that we've approached a little bit on the podcast before. And one of those topics that does come up a lot with product managers, it's a tool for us to use, but haven't looked at it from the perspective of a product line. And so really eager to dive into that with you and share with listeners why product line road mapping is important. So let's just start there with, you know, some basic terms here. When you talk about product line road mapping, well, first off, what is a product line? Let's start there.
Right. And there are different types of road mapping. There's road mapping about a single product, about what I'm referring to as a line of products. There's also road mapping on technologies. A lot of people like to use technology road mapping as a term. Some people even talk about supply chain road mapping. Mm-hmm. And very customer-centric kind of road mapping would be when a salesman hands out like a brochure saying that our roadmap is headed in this direction, stick with my product. And then when they fail, that's what we call a vaporware. It doesn't happen. That's so there are different types of roadmap. Product line roadmapping gets into the strategy of the product line and conducting the strategy of the product line. Now, to your question of what's the product? What's the product line? Mm-hmm. And we have a hierarchy that we like to call on to describe this. And everybody's very familiar with the single product. What is a product and how we want to innovate a product, a single product? A line of product has a common thread throughout. And that common thread is at least one, what we refer to as platform, which we can leverage. And it's necessary to have that in order to get more out of the products that come off out of the product line. And above a product line, from our vernacular, is to say multiple product lines could create a product family. So as an example, let me just call out like Samsung. Samsung is a brand. It's a company, but that company uses the brand across many different product families. They have insurance products, they have software products, they have industrial products. We know them with their consumer product family mainly, and with televisions and cell phones and so forth, and computers. Each one of those areas, cell phones, computers, and TVs would be, for example, a product line. Mm-hmm. And you would find within each one of those product lines, one or more platforms. There'd be a core design platform, maybe a couple of core design platforms within the product line of TVs, product lines of cell phones, and so forth with computers. So there's a hierarchy. And what we look for in product line strategy is employing the dynamics of innovation and all aspects of business and all aspects of product management across the product line over a time horizon that may be a little bit longer than what some people are used to seeing and planning. It sometimes extends more than just a single year.
To make this a little bit more real to me, I always like good examples. The Samsung Galaxy product line has been a product line of smartphone, right? Just like the iPhone is a product line of smartphone.
Right.
And it basically gets largely iterative advancements every year or so. And then you talk about platform being part of a product line, something that that product line shares in common across the individual products. And so in Samsung's case, unfortunately for them, very notably in the news rather recently, is the battery issues with the new Samsung Note, 7 Note. But I imagine that the battery could be a platform for them.
It could be, but unlikely. We would have to go into the strategy. We would call that in the roadmapping area, we'd call that a technology building block. Mm-hmm. And for example, they are switching out some of their technology building blocks, yet keeping some elements of the platform the same. And this might be one of them, the battery, and they're getting burnt by it, literally.
Literally, yeah. Others are too, yep.
But sometimes this is where people need to be sensitive and insightful. And for example, you reference Galaxy.
Right.
Galaxy is a brand, and the Galaxy Note still is a brand, but it's starting to get so specific it could be correlated one-to-one with a product or a product line, depending on where you go with it. But in the same sense, we don't want to conflate brands and product lines. Another example might be Tide at Procter & Gamble. Mm-hmm. There are many types of products under the brand Tide. There's a fluid, there's a liquid, there's a powder, there's packs, and they have other devices and stuff that are within this whole thing under Tide. However, when we think of product lines, we in the product sense, the tangible product sense, they have several product lines in there that have different varieties of packaging, different varieties of product coming off of them. Mm-hmm. And so it's don't think of the product line as being just one thing with a brand like Tide. In this case, this is typical of Procter & Gamble. They would create a product family around the brand. Now, interestingly enough, they can take that product line strategy and the platforms and so forth and move them to other brands as well. And so you could see almost the exact same product coming up in another area.
Okay. Yeah, just want to make sure I'm tracking with you and for listeners too. Is there a common element across a product line, that being the platform?
That would be at least one platform, but you can have multiple platforms in a product line. Yes. And I've pondered the question over and over and over again. Can I figure out a product line without a platform? And I get to the point where I say, well, possibly, but it would be an awful product line. It wouldn't be very good.
You'd be missing the synergies of the platform.
That's right. It has no leverage in the center of the in the product line to get more out of it. This brings us up, really brings you back to, well, what's this thing platform? What are the platforms and what types of platforms are? A platform brings what I would call leverage to the product line. And the visual that I typically use, I'll try to create a word picture here, and then if need be, share out actual visuals. But think of like a triangle with a plank on top of it.
And you mean like a teeter-totter? Right?
A teeter-totter, right. And if
So we just had a quick interruption in our connection, and we were talking about this plank and triangle being like a teeter-totter.
Right. And the teeter-totter is a very valuable way to think about this in that it sets up the notion of getting leverage in the product line. Mm-hmm. For different product lines, there can be different platforms. There can be what we call design platforms. This is engineering design. So the motherboard on a computer, in a personal computer, that same motherboard can be used on a whole series of different computers within the line. And software can be a platform and an operating system. We also have production asset platforms. They're just gigantic production lines that are giving us lots of leverage as well. Mm-hmm. Service platforms are quite interesting to look at, and banking and insurance industry have their own platforms, and you can see lots of things come together to create those platforms. What's really neat to understand here, though, is the value of the platform can only come about if the organization is structured and carries out in the way its daily practices such that it gets the leverage. Mm. And by leverage, we mean if I put a dollar into it, I'm going to get $2 out of it. It means I can do things faster on the platform than if I have to recreate it every time.
Right.
And this is where we get a little bit confused in our own product development efforts over the years, in that most all innovation and product development efforts focus on a single product, one at a time, without the relevance of a platform, without the relevance of product line strategies. What we want to make sure people understand is that most of the innovation has to go into the platform or a set of platforms for a product line. And when we do multi-generational planning of a product line, what we're doing is laying out how the platforms will morph and evolve over time. You were mentioning, for example, the Samsung. We have Samsung 4, 5, 6, right. 7. These are different platforms that are coming up. These are the new platforms, each one coming up. And they're different than the previous platforms. They're pulling some things along, but leaving other things behind in a design platform, what we say design platform. So in thinking that way and starting off innovation in that way and understanding how innovation complements it, it gives us another dynamic in our product line strategy that is much more powerful than just trying to innovate one thing at a time.
Okay. So I still want to make sure I can get my hands around this correctly. And so I'm geeky enough to just come up with examples to kind of test the boundaries because I like this stuff. Would a example of a platform then, so the one I'll call the kind of traditional way of thinking about platform is something that is in common between the products. You know, for example, if we're an automotive manufacturer and we have a unibody frame and we build three distinct automobiles off of that same frame. The frame, it's in common between them. It would be a platform, right? But what if you talked about the production line part of this? Maybe we're manufacturing toothpaste and we put different formulas inside each bottle, but we have a really innovative approach to the manufacturing process that makes us we can manufacture twice as fast as anyone else. Would that just be operational improvement, or would we say, yeah, our manufacturing process is our platform?
So in the examples that you give, Chad, it brings up the question, what do you want to do in strategy, not what is it? Mm-hmm. In other words, one of the things we have to make a decision about in strategy is we have to deliberately decide what we want to do and purposely go after it. So if you were to decide that one thing is a platform and another thing shouldn't be considered a platform, that has implications for the product line and how one structures a team around it, how one structures practices, processes, how the strategy that it's being carried out. It has grand ramifications. And those things are what make up that triangle underneath the teeter-totter.
Okay.
And we need to get the teeter-totter and the triangle to come together in order to get the leverage.
Right.
So this is one of the mistakes lots of people make when they get into this. They think, well, let me just figure out what my platform is and then all will be good. Sometimes they can't tell because it's morphed over the years and their product lines are so mature that they don't have very much leverage left at all. And they're trying to figure it out from a stance of, we do everything for everybody in any way we can. That's where we lose on strategy. We don't have the benefit of strategy supporting the product line. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I think about that platform as being both an enabler of, you know, based on the strategy, it's an enabler. It brings about synergies. Like you said, you know, we put $1 in, we get two out. At the same time, it also creates some constraints for us and limits things we might be able to do without that platform.
Yes. And in strategy, one of the things we try to teach and make sure people get their arms around is the fact that strategy is as much about saying what you want to do as what you won't be doing. Right. So as we say, mostly to our business-to-business clients, you don't have a strategy until you can say no to a customer.
Right.
If you never say no to a customer, you really don't have a product line strategy.
You can't be all things to all people and have a strategy.
Indeed.
Okay, so we got the foundations here a little bit. And just to recap, we're talking about a product may very well be part of a product line, where that product line shares some element of a common, one or more common platforms. So there's something common across those products in that product line. And then a collection of product lines might be part of a product family that may roll up underneath a brand, you know, like, you know, the Tide example. Let's focus on the road mapping aspect now that we kind of have that in place, because I think many of us product managers involved in product management and innovation think more about road mapping from the product perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And you gave some examples that there are different kinds of roadmaps, but probably the one that always comes to my mind is really thinking about, in your example, was what the salesperson has, which, you know, probably makes me and other product managers a little nervous in the first place to think about what is it sales managers are showing to potential customers. Yeah. But it's something that often looks kind of like a Gantt chart, a bar chart that says, you know, what are we going to do the next quarter and the quarter after that, and kind of big chunks of capability that we expect to release in iterations of a product. And a product line then must be doing this for some number of products, something that's sharing that common platform. So can you contrast this for us, how, you know, that kind of Gantt chart looking thing for a product, so really what does this start meaning for a product line?
So the one thing that all of these roadmaps have in common is a timeline. Okay. There is a timeline. You can think of it visually as going left to right. And whether it's the Gantt chart that's moving as different things coming on, that's adding on one to another, that's interesting looking. But usually what that's all about is stuff that's in development right today. We call these products in development. Mm-hmm. So if a product line had like seven different products in development coming out at different times, these products in development should be launched at a certain time. Oftentimes we'll even hear people say that their launch schedule is their product line roadmap, which is fine, but it's not really what's the whole of what's going on. What we're also interested in are the strategy moves. Are you shifting out a platform? Are you going to create a new platform? Are you going to retire a platform? How many platforms do you have? What are the building blocks? For example, you mentioned the Samsung cell phone's battery, probably a building block that complements, okay, augments the platform. There's a timeline of things going on with the building blocks as well. So we have building blocks that are adding value to the platforms. And if we think about product development in like a product development 101 course, we would say that product development is all about pulling a bundle of technologies together to meet a bundle of market needs, customer needs. And so if we look at the roadmap for a product line, what we're doing is pulling the technology building blocks to augment, add value to the platforms, to then feed product to specific market segments. And in so much as we change segments, shift out where we want to go on our segments, emphasize different segments, shift out platforms, change platforms, and make moves with respect to platforms with new technologies and new building blocks. That becomes the whole of what the product line roadmap is all about. This implies, though, that our concern is not just about products in development, those things that are standard and looked at. What we like to also make sure we know of is where we want to go with the product line beyond that. And we do this with targets for innovation. We do this for establishing targets for innovation around what we call product innovation charters. These are targets for where they're not the concepts in whole, but they're a target for where we want to go to with a purpose and strategy, a purpose in how we want to get there. This is a very fundamental part of what we would see as product line road mapping. Product innovation charters were started by one of the original founders of the PDMA, a fellow by the name of Merle Crawford years ago. Uh-huh. And what he was able to show in some of his early research was that if we have a knowledge of where we want to get to with an innovation, there's a much greater likelihood that we're going to hit that innovation and get that innovation. When we do that in a product line, we're moving the product line in that direction. Now, whether the product innovation charter is to extend a platform or create a platform, reform a platform, these are the important parts of the discussion for the product line team, what they want to do. So in strategy, what we're trying to do in the product line roadmap is visualize the product line strategy. And we do this with different elements that go way beyond with what a Gantt chart would look like for just those products in development.
And you continue looping back to strategy. So I'm understanding that this is the core context for putting together a product line roadmap, is thinking further than just, as you said, what's in development, but where is it that we're going in alignment with the, I always back out strategy to alignment with the organization mission, vision, values. You know, what is it? What is our difference in the world to make? And then what is our strategy to deliver on that difference?
Yes. And this has been one of the struggles throughout my career, trying to understand what this is. A strategy is talked about in so many different ways. Many of us had courses in it in college, mm-hmm. but to truth, it really didn't take you very far. You learned the difference between an objective and a mission statement, and this really doesn't help all that much in what we're talking about. Let me try to draw this other picture for you about business strategy versus product line strategy. We try to encourage companies to take a look at their business strategy following more of a thought process that was developed by a professor, Richard Rumelt, out of UCLA, in which he talks about business strategy as a chain link of strategies. Each link in the chain is a different functional strategy that the company is carrying out. So, for example, there is a sales strategy, an operation strategy, and a IT strategy, a human resource strategy, and there is a product line strategy, and there is a brand strategy. Business strategy is about pulling all those things together in alignment so that they work together. In so much as our product line strategy is just one of the links in that chain, it's very important that what we do in product line matches up with these other links. If we don't, no matter how good or poor the product, underlying product offering might be, there's a great likelihood the whole thing will fail.
Sure.
And so we can work as our tails off on innovation, but if it's not within what the strategy is doing, of the business, if it's not within the chain link strategy, we're going to hurt ourselves.
Right.
Now, we have a choice to always do the old and never change any of those other links, or to begin doing new things and begin changing the links to match up to us. This is what the entrepreneur wants to do all the time, wants to move outside, get away from those links because they're killing them. This is what people that want to step outside with new ventures and startups would want to do as well. And it's because they don't want to deal with these chain links. What we're doing is saying, let's confront the chain links, let's change them, as we change our product line strategies as well. Let's bring this together so that we can change it all. And when we need to step outside our links, we do it on purpose. We just don't do it because we want to at the beginning. We do it because we see how to do it, and we want to do it as part of our overall business strategy, not just because we can't get it done any other way.
So the business strategy is the guiding light, right, that you then align the functional strategies to. And as you point out, sometimes there's this tension that gets created because sometimes the functional strategy, if we break it down to the product line strategy, we find we need to tweak this a little bit, and we need to, you know, push on those other links around us.
Yes, like let me give you an example of a case. It's a client I'm working with right now. It's very complicated product line in very high tech industry, dealing in business to business markets. They have to have solutions that cut across different product lines in order to do it. This is what we call matrix orientation to the product line, and it's a little bit more advanced than we're talking about here. But to get the value out of that product line, they have to sell differently. Here you have this hugely complicated product line stuff happening. But to get the value out, you have to change the way you sell. Mm-hmm. But the sales force is being rewarded and pushed in one direction for what's sure. going on with the core business. How are they going to do this when to carry out these new things, these complicated things in that way? This is a problem. And is it the problem of the product? Or is it the problem of the business strategy, or of the chain link for the sales strategy? I would submit it's everybody's problem to come together, and that we have to work it out together. If the salespeople cannot see it, they don't understand it, we have a bigger problem here. If the leadership of the organization doesn't understand it, then we have a bigger problem too. And this is the frustration of many innovators of trying to do new, but not thinking where the boundaries are on what they should be doing within an organization. Right. So in so much as what I just talked about, these are two of the three primary elements of product line strategy: the platform, mm-hmm. and then the chain link alignment.
Okay.
The third thing that you haven't asked about, but it is purposeful right in the middle of this, is what we call positioning. And this is, are we going to do lots of variety, little variety, high price, high performance? How are we going to position it against competition and position it in within the market? Mm. And you'll see, for example, in the life cycle of a product line, you'll see very little variety, and high performance may be a starting point. But over time, it becomes low cost, high variety, low margins, and quality might come down. These are things that are done purposefully, but we have to know where we want to get to. And as you could imagine, how you position has great impact on what your platform is. What your platform is has great impact on how you're going to position. How you position and how you use your platform is going to have great impact on your chain links right. and what's going on. One has to take the whole set together and to work across the whole strategy. The purpose of the roadmap then becomes one of being able to get an execution plan against all of this stuff so we know what we're doing and how we're doing it, and we can communicate it clearly about what's happening and why we're doing what we're doing.
So that's helpful. Let me connect some dots that I heard, and I do this for me and for everyone else listening too, is there is this system thinking that should be going on, right? Because when you talk about the chain and the links and that it's everyone's problem, it's just not the product people, it's not just the salespeople. It is a systems perspective of that organization and the functions, and we have to look at that together. And the value, just like people have used a traditional, what I'll call traditional product roadmap, that's really about feature prioritization. When are we going to see new features at different times? What do we expect to happen? But that's a really good collaboration tool to kind of get people on the same page. This product line roadmapping is a really good strategy collaboration tool to get everyone involved in the system to understand where we're going with the product line and how are we expanding it? Are we shrinking it? Are we changing platforms? And it helps with if you think of it as a system, it helps with those cross-functional conversations. Is that fair?
That is very fair, but let me add to that a little bit in that it is just not a one-way conversation.
Right, right.
And it brings up what I would call, like, for example, chain link innovation rather than just product innovation. Mm-hmm. We're going to innovate the whole thing, move the whole thing. So people, some people might want to refer to it like business model changes, but getting people that are from other functions to be part of what's going on within the innovation that's driving a product line can be enormously powerful and helpful. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it is for communication with one person or with a hierarchy of the organization or a function. But it's really about trying to give us a format so we can work together, so we can create together and then communicate together. If we're on the same page, lots of stuff can happen. If we're doing different things, we've got a lot of problems.
And this all stems from the nature of innovation, right? Because if we're involved in innovation, that means we've done something new. If we have a new product to add new value to a customer, then we should expect that impacts sales and what they're doing. It impacts the marketing communications around that. It might impact manufacturing. And we should see this domino effect, right?
Any innovator who doesn't have them in a large organization, the mindset that they are responsible for inducing and carrying out organizational change has blinders on. That needs to be part of their role and their responsibility. The road mapping is what gets us there. I know it might sound a little bit off track, but let me take you back into show and to say, one of the first things that I bumped into in trying to evolve the concepts of what we were dealing with in product development went from early days of creativity to teamwork. People have been using this silo kind of analogy for many, many decades. Mm-hmm. Into process, organizational process, coming in the late 80s, early 90s with Stagegate, into portfolio management, because nobody does one product at a time. Everybody has sets of projects going forward. But the shortfall of portfolio management is that it begs the question of what the heck is our strategy? And who cares what the balance of a portfolio is if our product lines strategies are terrible?
Right.
We need to have potent strategies for a product line and have portfolios that can execute them, carry them out. And we need to pull this all together. One of the missing components of all this over the years has been, what's that construct for product lines and product line strategies so that we can work this out? Too many of us have just taken for granted that the people before us knew everything that was going on and they knew it right, and we're just stuck with what's here today. Unfortunately, it shouldn't be that way. It should be, you're responsible for what's today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you better get on with it and bring other people into this whole thing.
Yep. Change will happen, and more quickly than any of us typically wants. We better figure out a way to deal with it.
There you go.
As everyday innovators are listening to this, hopefully you're getting the picture that the idea of product line road mapping is very powerful for organizations that have more than one product, right? And we're dealing with a product line. And I did ask you about this earlier, Paul, but I know you do have an ebook available that you've made available at different times. I want to give another resource to listeners to dive into this more and see some of the pictures about what this looks like. Could I provide a link in the show notes for this to your ebook?
Yes, you certainly may. And let me just say that I have lots of different resources on my website at www.adept-plm.com. If anybody goes to that, they'll see many references. There's a link over to the road mapping references, also into strategy references, and many different things that we do around workshops and aiding people in this way. They're welcome to visit the website and pick up anything that they can. There are a couple of white papers that are quite good that are a little bit more succinct and easier to get through that we drill down on this. So they might want to choose that as well.
And as our discussion kind of evolved, you know, it's not just about creating a roadmap for product line management, but really about the strategy involved. The business and the organization as a whole, and how these strategies impact each other. And so I know in your ebook, you also address the strategy perspective well.
Exactly.
That would be a good resource for listeners, and I appreciate you making that available. I'll put that link in the show notes. And as I always like to do, I love innovation quotes, and I asked you to think about one to bring us. What did you select and why?
I selected one. I had to look first. I don't keep quotes in my head very easily, but so I looked at one by Peter Drucker. I have been a fan of Peter Drucker for many years. But Peter Drucker said a very long time ago, he said, if you want something new, you have to stop doing something old. And at first, it's like one of these statements like, oh, yeah, that's who cares? That's not very insightful. It's not very much at all. But once you get into what we're talking about around product line strategies and using innovation as a powerful tool within product line strategies, you begin to realize the stopping something old is probably more challenging than the creating something new. It's as equally as challenging to change the sales force, to change branding, to change different things within the operations as it is to create the new thing. And stopping what you're doing old, that's been the bread and butter for many organizations. And not being able to stop the old is really a problem for a lot of organizations. That's why I like that quote. I got that quote and I said, geez, you know, there's something insightful that's deeper than just the top words that he's saying.
Yeah, Drucker's pretty good at that. And I appreciate you sharing that quote too. And that illustrates the point very well. Is there anything you just want to wrap up with in terms of, we shared where we'll find some resources, your website, and put in the show notes too for this. Anything else you want to leave listeners with?
I have so much to talk about in all of product development, all of product management like this, that I don't know where to start. And I just encourage people, don't hesitate, go to the website, pick up stuff, feel free to send emails along the way. I talk with anybody that wants to talk. This is what we do. So, Chad, I enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting me in.
Paul, I appreciate your time. Thanks for walking through product line road mapping with us and talking about strategy some. And I hope we get a chance to do it again.
Great. Thank you much. Thank you much. Bye now.
Thanks for listening. Would you take a moment to share this podcast with other product managers and innovators? If you're finding value in it, your colleagues and friends will too. And it's easy to do that. Just go to the show notes for the summary of the discussion with Paul, and you'll find the links at the top of the page to share it on social media. Also, from the same page, you can download the Product Mastery Roadmap. It shows you how to go from product manager to product master. That and more is at theeverydayinnovator.com/095. Keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to The Everyday Innovator, which teaches product managers to become product masters. For more resources, please visit our blog at theeverydayinnovator.com.